We are entering into the most important and significant date on the Jewish calendar, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today is Palm Sunday, which marks the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But you know, to be completely honest, by comparison to other people, like Alexander the Great, or Caesar, the Roman Emperor, Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem would have seemed, well, to many people, rather pathetic. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was more like, well, a parade of poverty. It certainly was not what others would see as a triumphal entry. Any Romans that were in Jerusalem at that day and time, they probably would have laughed at the sight of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. When Caesar came back from Gaul, it is reported that there was a parade that lasted over 3 days. To a Roman, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem would have looked very, well, unimpressive and lacking authority and power. Where were all the prominent officials that would be lined up? Where was all the pomp? And on all the ceremony, the elaborate ceremony that would have taken place. Most of the people who welcomed Jesus were what you would call, well, common peasants, who laid palm branches and garments before Jesus on the road. But this was the coming of one not caught up in political power or material wealth. Instead of riding into Jerusalem on a white stallion, Jesus rode on a lowly donkey, one that he even had to borrow as he came to Jerusalem in humility. Yet on this entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem is one of the few events of Jesus' life that is recorded for us in all four of the Gospels. Actually, there is a combined total of 25 chapters in the four gospel accounts that are given over to the events which took place in the 8 days from Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem to his resurrection from the dead the following Sunday, which accounts for actually about 1/3 of the total gospel account that is given over to the final 8 days of Jesus' life on earth. And you know, I think this helps us to understand how significant the gospel writers understood these final days to be. I'm going to read to us from two portions of Scripture. The first comes to us from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And then from Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1 and following. "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' So this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet: 'Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' And the crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" There are 10 things I want to highlight from this portion of Scripture. First is, as they approached Jerusalem. Jesus' final destination was Jerusalem. Jesus was not in Jerusalem often, and when he was, it was usually only for a very short period of time. But I want you to try to imagine the mixture of emotions there would have been in Jerusalem at this time. It was Passover time. There would have been lots of excitement and lots of people and visitors from the surrounding areas and animals, sheep in particular, that would have been sacrificial offerings. And also the anticipation of much of the crowd. Would Jesus show up? Was he coming? Would he be at this festival? Would they get to see him? For Jesus, he must have felt the crushing weight of the heavy burden that was ahead of him, knowing that his time had come. Secondly, the thing that jumps out to me is the fulfilled prophecy. We read in verse 4, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet." Jesus was the fulfillment of every prophecy of the coming Messiah, of which there is well over 300 of them. It comes right down to the Messiah riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. This was not coincidence. This was all a validation of who Jesus Christ was. The prophecies that were given hundreds of years in advance all come true in Jesus, the Messiah. Third is the obedience of the disciples. In verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. If you are going to be a disciple of Jesus, you must be obedient to him. The two went ahead of the group and found everything to be just as Jesus had told them. Which leads me to the fourth thing. Jesus is the truth. What Jesus says is the way it is. He is the truth, and what he says is always true. Fifth, the donkey and the colt. In Mark's gospel, the 11th chapter and the second verse, it tells us it was a colt which no one has ever ridden. You know, that's amazing. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on an unbroken colt. Now, I've got to admit, I'm a city boy, and I don't know anything about riding donkeys and horses and breaking them in. But I understand you don't just go and jump onto the back of an unbroken colt and expect it to go well. The first thing in breaking in a donkey is for it to understand who the master is, who's the boss. And it must submit to that master. Once the donkey understands and submits to the master, it is then controllable and will submit to the master's will and authority. Here is a donkey that has never been ridden before, and not only that, it is surrounded by a crowd of noisy people. The colt had instantly recognized and come under the submission to the master, Jesus. And it calmly walks down the hillside with Jesus on its back. You know, I would suggest that if that had been you or me riding on that donkey or trying to ride on that donkey, we would have been immediately bucked off and kicked down that hillside. Is Jesus the master over your life? Or are you bucking and kicking against the plans he has for you? The donkey recognized Jesus' authority and submitted to him. Have you? The religious leaders of Israel, they didn't want a master. They wanted to be their own master, and they refused to submit themselves to Jesus. And they kicked and bucked at him right from the beginning to the very end. Is that you? Are you like an unbroken donkey? Sixth, the crowds. Why the enthusiasm? Well, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 37, it says, when he came near the place where the roads go down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. That's why they were excited to see Jesus, because of all the miracles Jesus had done and they had seen him do. You know, the raising of people from the dead, healing the sick, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the lepers healed, those demon-possessed being set free. People were caught up in the emotion of the crowd. You know, it is exciting to have a God that performs miracles and does what they want him to do. That's exciting stuff. But you know, when the dramatic doesn't happen and things don't go the way they want, it very quickly changes to a completely different story. Are you caught up in the emotion and enthusiasm of other people? Or do you know what it means to be broken before the Lord and to let him be master over your life? There's a huge difference between those two. Seventh, the whole city was in a stir. Verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Who is this? We looked at Nicodemus last week, who asked the same question as he came to Jesus one night. And basically, Nicodemus said to Jesus, who are you? We know you're a person come from God because no one can do the miracles that you do unless God was with them, but who are you? You know, Jesus was either a very bad person, purposefully deceiving people, or he was a crazy, insane person. He thought he was something that he wasn't. Or he was and is everything he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Who is this man? Which brings us to the eighth thing. This is Jesus. Verse 11, the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Have you submitted to the Master Jesus? Or are you still kicking and bucking against him, ultimately saying, I will not have this man rule over me? I want a God that is a miracle-working God that does what I want him to do, not that I submit to what he wants to do and what he directs me to do in my life. You know, the tragedy is the crowd failed to recognize who would bring them peace. And it's just the same today. People fail to recognize who Jesus is and what he has done for them. Victory and peace with God come through Jesus Christ alone, period. Ninth, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Again, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, we read, as he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. You know, rather than coming into Jerusalem and making a grand speech, when Jesus arrived in the city and saw Jerusalem and the people in Jerusalem, he wept over them and then quickly departed again. Though the great people of Jerusalem did not welcome Jesus, instead of coming to conquer and slay his enemies, Jesus, a few days later, went to the cross and died for those very same people. Jesus came to make a sacrifice of personal suffering and death, to pay the penalty of our sins, of my sins, of their sins, and to reconcile us back to God. Jesus came riding a beast of burden, on an animal of peace, and he came to bring peace, but he was rejected by most. And yet, when Jesus comes again in his second coming, as he said that he was coming again, Jesus will be riding upon a white horse. He will come as a conqueror, as King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you know him? Are you ready for that day? Paul, in writing to the Colossians, in chapter 2 and verse 13, he writes, "When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." And now finally, number 10, what about you? Are you kicking and bucking against Jesus? Or have you recognized who he is and have submitted your life to him as your master? Is Jesus weeping over you today because, like many in Jerusalem that day, they did not recognize who Jesus was and what he had come to do? You know, I encourage you to submit your life to Jesus right now and to invite him into your life as your Savior and Master and Lord. The Apostle John wrote in his epistle, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, he said, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." So let me ask, what about you? Have you invited Jesus to come and rule in your life? To be your Savior, to be your Master, to be your Lord? You know, that is the most decision that you will ever make. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, you are here, ready and willing to enter into our lives if we will only humbly invite you to come and to be our Savior and Master and Lord. Open our eyes to see you, Jesus, and may we recognize that you are the fulfillment of all God's promises. You are the Messiah that has come to bring us peace and salvation. Oh, stir in our hearts the desire to know you more and better each day. I pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.